What's up, race fans? You have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the In the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
Wow. It's been a while since we've been on here, everybody. Welcome back to In the Groove Podcast. I am your host, Slammin' Sam. We're back in the saddle. We're back strapped in, as Al Tucci says, and don't go anywhere is the truth. We are taking this to another level, another ride here on In the Groove Podcast. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're strapped in because, yeah, here it comes. All right, what's up, everybody? Like I said, it's been a while since we've been on the show, since we've done anything, kind of regrouped, took a little bit of a break, and just understand, you know, what's going on. A lot of racing has been going on. If you follow anything that I'm doing on Outlaw Performance ENT, my Facebook, YouTube channel, please go and check it out, as right now we've actually just dropped a new video. So you should go and check that out and hit subscribe. Mr. Flying Ryan Ayler, he is a pro stock motorcycle driver in NHRA class. And man, is that always a fun and exciting time to get to talk to any of one of these drivers in the pits and just talk about really what they go through. So please go over to YouTube, check that out. And if you kind of want to keep up personal with me, I started the whole Twitter thing under Slammin' Sam, and Slammin' Sam has his own page just to kind of see the different things that he explores and does. But man, tonight's show, I'm really excited about this because if you've kind of followed my journey over the last 2 years, really, and it's funny because we just talked about it today, over the last 2 years, you'll see the growth and the improvement that I've made. And it's by one of my friends. I can honestly call him a friend, a brother, and a mentor. So without further ado tonight, we might as well just get right in it, dive right into it. I'm going to bring on my friend, my coach, my mentor, Mr. Jason Dukes from Captain's Chair Coaching. Jason, the Dukes, how's it going tonight, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Yeah, like you said, two years since knowing Slammin' Sam. And I mean, this whole thing, it's crazy. It's a crazy ride. So yeah, happy to be here. I'm doing great.
Yeah, and you know, you get the luxury of sitting in Florida when you talk to me, and sometimes I'm talking to you when it's negative 30 outside, and people are like, man, why would you stay here in North Dakota? And you know, you can go anywhere in the world, but you know what? Life takes us on different journeys, especially you. You've done a lot. You've kind of went through a lot. So just for people that don't know, obviously a lot of people won't know who you are. We'll dive into all that, but kind of give us a general idea of who you are, what you do, and a little bit of your background before we dive completely into it.
Yeah, well, luckily I'm one of those kids that from day one growing up, I knew that I wanted to be a life coach and live in Florida when I grew up. Actually, that's totally a lie. This is, you know, life and business coach, but this is totally just like an evolution of life. I grew up in New Jersey, African American. No one in my family was into motorsports. Probably like anyone else in that scenario, like bank borrowed, stole, lied, did whatever I could to get to a racetrack. You know, Ace Lane family, Tommy Lane, John Lane, lived in my hometown. My dad's police partner, George Radichak, raced. And so I would, you know, try and get to the racetrack with him. Me and one of my best friends, Jason Bird, our dads would basically alternate taking us to you know, the national event in Englishtown every year. And, you know, just anything to get to the racetrack, anything to get to the racetrack. And so, you know, it's one of those things where it's like racing is in your blood, but it wasn't naturally in my blood. Like it got there. and honestly got there from watching as a kid, you know, coming home as a fat kid from school eating pizza and turning on ESPN and watching Monster Trucks, watching Brett Kepner, who, you know, I had the honor of working with when I worked at Gateway in St. Louis. You know, watching Monster Trucks, watching NASCAR, IndyCar, GT racing, all Formula One racing, all on TV as a kid. So I was brought into it more from the TV side because I wasn't going to the racetrack as much as most people who were brought up at a track. But fast forward many years, I ended up doing a bunch of different internships and working for NASCAR. So I worked for NASCAR for four seasons. Left NASCAR, went to Gateway Raceway in St. Louis, where I was the drag strip manager there for about another 3 or 4 years. Did a whole bunch of pretty innovative things there, you know, and like lots of transitioning happening. And then my dad got sick, so moved back home to New Jersey to help the family take care of my dad. And then fast forward another couple of years, created an executive. I started out as life coaching, turned into executive coaching. And so the business that I have here, and, you know, most of my clients are from our racing days. I coach a lot of people, in motorsports, including you, Wes Buck, Greg Gill from SRO, Brandon, at NASCAR, like a bunch of different, people that I crossed paths with during my time in motorsports.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, we were literally just talking about this today as we were talking. It's been 2 years. Like it's crazy to think that the event that you and I were, I can honestly say, I think I got my first dip into the media world where I stepped out and was like, hey, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm involved in it. I care about it. I'm passionate about it. Was Wes Buck's, as he called it, the baddest, richest, you know, drag race that Denver had ever seen. Certified badasses only. And I can say that on my show, but you know, and it was cool. I was like, you know, I can remember that day I was wearing a red t-shirt, khaki shorts, hat backwards, kind of just like I'm doing right now. And you walked up to me and you're like, man, you know, we need to meet, we need to talk. And you're like, you see potential and Al Tucci, names like that. And it's just weird to kind of look back and see, but that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about. But you know, you mentioned something where you said you weren't born into the drag racing, but it was something that you knew you liked. And I can attest to that, as in my story, as you know, I had family and friends that dragged race, but I was like, no, that's not the cool thing to do, right? You know, I did it because they did it, but I was more into the picture side of it, you know, the video side of it. But like you mentioned there again, being an African-American kid, it's not okay. You know, it's stick and ball sports, not a camera in your hand. So it's like, okay.
In New Jersey, right? New Jersey is a pretty small state. Like, geographically, I didn't live that far away from Englishtown, probably about 60, 70 miles. Like, geographically, it's not that far. But in a small populated place like New Jersey, that's, you know, North Jersey, Central Jersey, and South Jersey are, like, completely different states. So, you know, I was pretty much a state away from any sort of racing. I mean, there was Pocono Raceway was 60 miles that way. Englishtown was 60 miles down the road there. And so it was hard for me to actually get into that. And so, yeah, the local stuff was, you know, my town was known for track and field, known for football, basketball. That was, I was pretty involved in all those too, but you know, my heart, really was in racing.
Yeah, no. And I mean, it's always something to kind of step out. And I think that, you know, when we dive into more of the questions that I have here later, you know, as to what, why, when, where, how, you know, and everything like that, I think there's a lot to talk about that I think we overlook as, you know, people, as spectators, as fans involved in the sport and everything else. But I think there's just so much to, I guess, dive into. I kind of want to open it up to you in the first half of the show here to kind of see where you want to take it, because I know where I want to go and explain to people.
I'll follow you. And too, I mean, the other thing too is I wish the when, where, why, how, all that stuff, I wish it was linear too. But, you know, it's like, it isn't. It's like, well, I worked for NASCAR, and then I worked for Gateway and drag racing, and then I went home and thought I was done completely with racing, and then you realize you're never done with racing, and then you come back as a life coach, which you never even you know, whatever, which morphs into executive coaching, you know, working with executives in motorsports and, you know, other industries and stuff like that. And it's like, I had no, I mean, there's no guidebook for this at all. Like, I had no clue that this was how it was going to evolve, but it's just, it's what it evolved. And I mean, I would like to think that, you know, that I can create the next chapter of my life, but like, I don't even know what the next chapter of my life is going to look like. You know, but it likely is going to involve, you know, working with executives and working in racing. And, you know, or, I mean, it could be on the marketing. Like, I have a pretty, you know, big background on the marketing side, on the promotion side, on the whatever side. Like, who knows what the next chapter is going to be.
Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slammin' Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
Always want to thank Mad Bro Motorsports, one of our premier sponsors. You can call me Slammin' Sam. And then at the same time, we do want to thank Raise Energy for giving us the energy for all of these shows. If there's anything you guys ever need from Mad Bro Motorsports or Raise Energy, give me a call, 701-720-7996. But we're going to kind of dive into it. You know, Jason has talked about his start and where he kind of started from. But when you look back and you think, like, wow, I started at this point. I started, you know, at Gateway and with NASCAR. Did you ever think it would involve into or meeting the people that you've met?
So there's different levels of that, right? Like, and also your brain plays games with you too. Like, I grew up watching all of this stuff on TV. You know, there was a like a Hollywood-based version of a lot of this stuff of, like, you know, I'm the kid watching on TV and all these people are the stars and stuff like that. And a lot of that got broken apart. Like, my first day at NASCAR, I worked in series operations. Like, I went to every NASCAR Cup Series race for, you know, 3 years pretty much. And, you know, we're there 3 or 4 days a week. So it's like, you know, everyone sees what NASCAR is like on a Sunday with the big crowds and stuff like that. But, you know, when it's Thursday and everyone's just loading in to see a bunch of drivers, a bunch of crew chiefs and a bunch of crew guys, like the TV people, all the people that you grew up, you know, pretty much watching. And for myself, like I didn't grow up at the racetrack per se, like I grew up watching them on TV. So there really was a lot of idolization. And so quickly turned into, like, now all of a sudden I'm around all these people that I idolize. And then, you know, you quickly start to realize that it took me some time to realize that, like, I'm in the family, like, this is my family, like, I'm a part of this. So meeting was step one, then realizing that you're a part of the family, step two. But then, you know, also when things like, you know, what happened when I stepped away from the sport with my dad getting sick, it's realizing that you actually never leave. Like, you know, I thought it was going to be one of those things where it was like, well, I'm leaving, so everyone's going to forget about me. And still to this day, I'll go to the racetrack and, you know, someone that I haven't seen in 20 years will be like, hey, Dukes, or, you know, I can go on LinkedIn right now and, you know, talk to somebody and they'll reply to my email immediately. And meanwhile, I think I'm like, you know, like, oh my God, like, it's just full of me. Let me send this person an email. I hope they remember me or whatever. And, you know, they, you know, email me instantaneously and we just, you know, continue where we left off.
Hey, I mean, and trust me, and I know you know, and I think that's why we're both laughing right here is 2 years ago, if you would have told me that I would have been talking to half of the, I mean, we talked about this earlier today, it's funny, but if you would have told me 2 years ago that I'd be talking to half of the people I get the chance to talk to on the Competition Plus Power Hour, thank you to Bobby Bennett for that opportunity, and to my co-host Lee, the Monday Morning Racer, go and check his stuff out, no plug there, but that is a plug. But, you know, if you would have told me that I would be, and I'm just going to say it because it happened today, doing a full-on John Force, you know, impersonation of what our interview went look like, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing that I told you earlier in the session was, like, not just talking to these people, but, like, actually, like, being, like, desired and sought after because of the value that you guys are creating for the industry. Like, you know, the show that you and Lee put together on Bobby's platform is a game changer for the industry, and it's something that the industry needs. And so, yeah, everyone's both going to support it because they want to support you guys, but they're also supporting it because it's adding value to everyone, you know?
No, and I mean, you know, it's cool, and I know I'm kind of getting out of order, but, you know, a lot of people may say, well, what has this done for you, or how do you believe into the coaching? So I want to open that question up to you before I kind of tell my side of it and my, you know, deep down into it. But when people say, or when you meet people and, you know, your experiences, and you tell them about that, and you say, well, I do, you know, coaching, I do life coaching and performance coaching. What is the feel back or the answer that you get from a lot of people? Because, you know, when I tell my side of it, of experiencing it all, I think it's a little different, especially from my generation.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that made it really easy to get into the type of coaching that I do is that, you know, it's going to sound a lot worse than it is, but I suffered a lot through my professional career. Like, in my 20s, like when I was working at NASCAR and running Gateway, like I struggled a lot with anxiety. And then when my dad got sick, I struggled a lot with depression and mourning, and didn't necessarily know that there were people that I was probably supposed to be talking to or whatever. Like, I had mentors who, you know, pretty much told me what to do, but I didn't have people, you know, who I sat down with and actually, like, spilled my guts out and allowed myself to, more than anything, probably allowed myself to hear what was happening and make some decisions there. So there's some things that, like, that's taken 20 years of my professional life to evolve that didn't need to take that long. You know, some resources that I have that, like, all I needed was someone just to tell me, like, yo, that group of people, like, you're in that group of people, they love you, and they'll do whatever you ask them to do, like, as long as you're providing value for the industry. Like, if somebody would have told me that 10 years ago, I'd have built something crazy 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, but there was no one there. There was no one there to reflect that, because that was no one's job. It's not an actual conversation that you have with people. So, you know, so I think that's probably why I evolved the business the way that I did. Like, I have really powerful conversations so that people can see the things that they just can't see, and have conversations that you just wouldn't have with anyone else. Like, the conversation that we have, I mean, you could be honest if you want to, but, like, it's not a conversation that you would have with anyone else. Like,
no, and that's, yeah, I mean, and it's totally true. And it's funny because when you first approached me and you said, hey, we got to try this, we got to do this, you know, obviously I look up to someone else that you coach, and by the name of Wes Buck. He's been on the show. I've done work for him, and a stand-up, great all-around guy. Like, you know, I can't say anything negative about him. So, you know, first thing I do is call Wes, and I'm like, hey, dude, we need to talk. Like, who is this guy? You know, I'm like, who is this guy? What is he talking about? And I call another guy, Murder T. I'm not going to say his full name, but Murder T. And I'm like, dude, keep it real. Like, who is this guy? Like, and, you know, and I can honestly say it, in my generation, and you've never heard this, so this is the only reason why I'm keeping you on here, but my generation, we're not used to that, right? I mean, there's all these scam hoax, I'm this, I can do this, I can make you rich, quick kind of schemes. And I'm just, you know me better than anyone else, and this is kind of a show where I'm going to open up a little bit, but for the first time, I think you might, you know, this is what you wanted, but I'm like, dude, I don't know you, I don't trust you, like, you know, and I think I kind of was standoffish at first, but then the more we got to coaching and the things that I was going through at that part of my life, you know, I lost one of my best friends that dragged race with me. Wow, I didn't know that was going to hit me like that, but, you know, losing him and getting a phone call about a guy I went to high school with, and then shortly after that, you know, getting a phone call about my grandmother, dealing with personal stuff with my health, And it's like you have all this that you're going through, but yet at the same time, you have someone that you can talk to, someone that's telling you, hey, Sam, you know, you're not just going through these quick, you know, little changes in your life. You want to grow and do something. You want to continue to build that brand and achieve it. And I think there was a lot of times where I even said, I'm like, this isn't for me. Like, why am I doing this? I questioned it. I doubted it. But slowly but surely, you see, like, man, you know, dang, it's been 6 months and I've achieved this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
well, even looking back, how old is the Power Hour now? Like,
yeah, I mean, and I was going to get there. Like, in 6 months, I achieved this goal. You know, I was not just at, you know, two of Wes's events. You know, then it was, I was talking with people from NHRA, or then I met Bobby, and then Bobby was like, hey, I need you to go to this event for me. Hey, I might need you to do this. And then a year went by and it's like, all right, you know, that was 2019, 2020. Then it was like Wes Buck event at the beginning of the year. And then everything kind of shut down. And it was like, we're at a stalemate. What do I do? How do I continue to grow, progress myself, get out there in front of people? And, you know, we talked about this podcast. We talked about, some other things that we're currently working on, YouTube videos, everything else. But you kept saying something to me, and I kind of want you to break that down before we go into the next section. But level five, like you've from day one, you've talked about these different levels. So can you explain, I guess, what it is for each level, what you're trying to get someone that you're working with to achieve?
I mean, ironically, so in coaching, especially the type of coaching that I do, the concepts and a lot of the language, it's all specialized to the person. Like, you know, it may sound like it was well crafted, but I created level five when I was talking to you because that's what you needed to hear. You know, so but the whole concept there, and look, I wish I had it, right? Like when I was an employee at NASCAR, my level was level one thinking. Like I felt like an employee. The stuff that I produced was employee level stuff. The stuff that I suggested was employee level stuff. And I could never break past anything employee level. And then at Gateway, like I was the drag strip manager. So it was like, okay, so someone bestowed me a title. So now, like, all of a sudden, now I can be level two, right? And, you know, one of the things that happened at Gateway that really opened my eyes was that, I mean, I'm bald, right? This is Gateway. This baldness is Gateway. I busted my hump there for 3 years of, like, you know, making sure the place on the drag racing side, like, really making sure the place stayed open and didn't close. And we'd have people come in on, like, and do weekend shows. Like, that was their job. They produce one show a year. And they would make, I don't know, eight times more money than I made all year. And they would work one weekend. But I was stuck on level two thinking, and they're on, like, level five thinking, and, you know, just someone told them that they could make that amount of money in one weekend on one event, and they did it. Meanwhile, no one ever told me that. I'd come from, you know, industrial New Jersey background where it was like, well, to make an eighth of that, I got to, like, bust my hump every day. So I was out busting my hump every day. That's what I did. And so, you know, with you from the beginning, like, one of the things that I realized and just wanted to, it wasn't even a reflection. It was just a me realizing is that, like, you were at a point where you could provide, like, level five value to the industry. Like, no one needed Sam to provide level one work, you know, or level two work, or level three, or even level four work. It was like, you need to come on the scene and be level five. You know, not from ego or anything like that, but, like, that's what the industry needs from you, and that's what the industry can give back to you, level five stuff. But, like, if, you know, for a person like you that has so much to give, you know, and such a unique voice and unique everything, really, like, if you're not producing at level five, then it doesn't even make sense. Like, you'd just be spinning your wheels for no reason.
All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA and everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. Where did my 10 millimeter socket go? Who took it? Where's it at? Doesn't matter. Look down there, right there, MADBRO15. They got great prices, so just go over to PowerBuilt, check it out, get those tools, save another 15% off. You can't beat it. My toolbox is full of them, so I know if any of you guys took my 10 millimeter socket when we're at the racetrack. But let's get back right back into here. But yeah, man, I mean, Jason, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of people taking my 10 millimeter. So now I just went over to PowerBuilt and they've got a great variety of tools. So it just works out perfectly because now no one can take my tools because I'm the only one out here with PowerBuilt as of right now. But
I was going to say, again, I mean, talking level five stuff, as soon as you change, then everyone's going to change. And then you're going to have the same problem.
That's what we're hoping for. Is everybody gets PowerBuilt tools, use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15%. But
well, look, Seven Slam's using them, so that's your reason why you need to use them. They can steal his stuff.
Hey, don't listen to him. But yeah, so I mean, diving right back into it, like you said, you know, you kind of created that, but we fast forward to a few more years, the pandemic's going strong, and I'm like, man, I want to do a podcast, a big, you know, national podcast, and I knew a guy, Lee, Monday Morning Racer, again, that, you know, I talked to, that I worked with on a few things. We met down at a Door Slammer race put on by Westbuck, Elite Manufacturer. C-Tech Manufacturer, and the slew, as Westbuck would say, of sponsorships that they had there. But the guy
the whole industry came out. Yeah. Like, it was,
I mean, everyone was there. But Lee kept getting in my shots, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, hey, like, I know you're trying to get a good shot, man, but you're in my shot. And that's how we kind of met. And you and I talked about it. We kept talking about it. And Bobby Bennett, who's been nothing but great to me, with anything that I've worked on for him or that he needed. And I kind of hem-hobbed around it. And then it's like, hey, Jason, I think I should talk. Like, and you're like, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. And you're like, dude, you want to do a show, just call him and tell him. You know, it's just like the first time when I was like, call him and tell him you want to go to this race. He needs someone to be there. And so I called Bobby, and he's like, dude, I've been trying to figure out this whole plan. And it's just funny because it's like, you look at it and you said it before in the conversations that we wouldn't have with anyone else, or the conversations we kind of think twice about with ourselves. If you just have that person to talk to.
Or think 30 times about over 3 years rather than just talking that with somebody and doing something about it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I stopped you in the process of asking the question, but I think that's probably a more accurate statement, is that, like, no, instead we think about it 30 times over 3 years rather than just having a powerful conversation with somebody that could, like, actually move it forward. You know, with the Power Hour, literally all of the pieces, and it's funny because the pieces continue to evolve, but it's like all of the pieces were there. And everyone needs it. Like, you needed Bobby, Bobby needed you, Lee needs you, you need Lee needs Bobby, the industry needs the Power Hour needs the industry, fans need and want the Power Hour. It ended up being like this no-brainer that wouldn't have happened if you didn't call Bobby. Even before that, if like you didn't tell me and we didn't have the conversation, then be like, you know, make you call Bobby.
Yeah, and I mean, you said it. I think it was 3-4 times. You're like, dude, just call Bobby. Just send him a message. Call him. Text him. Whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get around to it. I'll do it. Yeah, you know, and you hem around things. And I think that's where, like we talked about today, in the 2 years that we've worked together, I've seen the growth. I made the statement within, I think it was the first year, because we went to West Bucks event in 2019. I said, you may feel like you're on cloud 9, but it's cloud forever. And that kind of, you know.
Well, you missed the in-between, the cloud now.
Yeah.
We went from cloud 9 to cloud now to cloud forever, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things, and again, here we go. We're talking about it, but a couple of years ago, I was wishing and dreaming and hoping to, you know, shake hands with Antron Brown. I had met him before, but, you know, Leah Pruitt, Don the Snake Perdome, Wes Buck. Obviously, I knew Wes, but John Force. I'm trying to just go down the list of people that we've had on the show. Brett Kepner, who is absolutely hilarious, by the way.
One of my good friends and even better mentor, and is one of the reasons why my hair is gone, but also it's probably worse off at Gateway. He's a legend and an irreplaceable asset to racing, but specifically racing in the St. Louis area. I came in thinking I knew a lot of what to do to run a drag strip, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without. I mean, look, there's a bunch of people there, but I wouldn't have been able to do it specifically with him.
Yeah, then you go from Brett Kepner, like I said, Melanie Salemi. We've had Amanda Busick, who is phenomenal what she does in the, you know, media world. Someone else that I look up to, Brian Loans. I've had Joe Costello on my show.
The unstoppable Steve, like, coming to you figuring out when he's going to be on the show. It's like, you know.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Like, Steve Torrance walking in the pits in Houston. He's like, hey, brother, when am I going to be on the show? And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. You know who I am?
I'm supposed to be begging you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and that's not just to throw names out to, you know, say names, but these are all people that I've had the chance to on Competition Plus Power Hour live every Tuesday night. You can listen to it on podcast form. You can watch it live on YouTube and Facebook. But, you know, these are the people that I got to talk to, and it's a test to coaching, because if I wouldn't have taken that step out there to put myself out there, I would still be wondering, how am I going to grow? How am I going to make this work? I'm still going to be doing, and you catch me sometime, level one stuff of trying to make these corny videos and not telling my true story and, you know, who Slammin' Sam is. I'm a guy from California that wears his hat backwards, and that's it, right? I mean, that's
I wasn't
it.
In the military or anything like that.
No, I mean, because for everybody... For everybody that knows, that's all you need to know. I'm a guy that shows up to the racetrack, wear my hat backwards, and I live in North Dakota, and I'm from California. Yeehaw, right? I mean, but now looking forward, it's like, yeah, I've done a few things. I know a few people. Hopefully one of them's going to be coming to Texas. I can't drop that information yet, but hopefully one of them's going to be coming to Texas to watch a drag race. But I kind of want to just dive right now into, I guess, the idea. If there is someone out there that's maybe, you know, an entrepreneur, young business owner, someone who is maybe a second generation business owner, or something like that, that's out there that may listen to this, or someone that may have ideas of something but doesn't know how to take that next step, what would you tell them? I mean, even if it's not for you, one of, you know, maybe there may be someone that you work with or one of your friends in the industry. What would you tell them if they were approached by a coach or by someone that could help them?
Yeah, I mean, well, hopefully they're approached by me, because if they're not approached by me, I'm not doing my job. But I mean, also, you know, people should be looking, like, searching out for coaches. They're searching out for me too, right? One of the things that Wes talks about a bunch is that, you know, when I first started working with Wes, Wes had a notebook to notebooks full of ideas. And, you know, like, I mean, he already had notebooks full of accomplishments, but he had notebooks full of ideas. And now we joke around about, like, how now there's notebooks full of accomplishments. Like, he takes things, he, you know, creates a plan, turns them into an event in his head, and quickly turns them into actual, you know, reality, using his resources, other people's resources, and, like, you know, and turns it into something major for, usually something major for the industry. And you know, for people who are ideal people and are visionaries, like, that becomes the biggest part is how do you turn these visions into something actionable that produces benefit to the world or to the industry or to whatever it is that you love doing. So, yeah, absolutely, give me a call or any coach that you, well, not any coach, but just screw it, give me a call. I mean, as far as, like, if you want, like maybe a couple different suggestions, some of the suggestions, like, I think in motorsports there's a lot of people that have trouble innovating and moving things forward because it's such a traditionalist industry. Like, tradition is a huge thing. I mean, I know I wish that everything would go back to, like, the first drag race that I saw. But, you know, the world evolves, and English Town doesn't even exist anymore. Yeah, being a visionary in a field of lots of traditionalists. But the other thing is, like, write those ideas down and just put them into small steps and start moving it forward. And, you know, have a hype team around you too. Because even if you do have a big vision and you create small steps, that they're all level in our vocabulary, they're all level one steps, it may not be big enough, right? Like, I think a lot of people in motorsports, they stop because whatever it is they're working on isn't making enough money for them or whatever. And most of the time it's because it's not big enough. It's like, no, what you're doing is great. You are smart, and what you're doing is great, and it's the right thing to do. You're just not doing it big enough to actually make money, or to make it actually be big enough to make some money at it. And a lot of times it's not for any other reason other than the person can't think big enough. They literally can't think big enough to make it big enough for it to have enough benefit to the industry in order for them to make some money off of it.
You use the Anchor app for one of our podcast forums, so you can go on there, look that up, check it out. Anchor, easy, boom, bang, bang, click, you're done, and your podcast is loaded up to all these spots. But that is one way to do it. So you talked about something here, Jason, and I really like it. You said you got to have a hype team. When you say you got to have a hype team, what does that, like, break that down just a little bit further? Because when I think about it, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I got to come out like Ja Rule back in the day, or 50 Cent, you know, and, you know, it's a big party. Is that what you mean when you say you have to have a hype team?
I think someone that just challenges the size of your dreams. And no, like, I mean, unfortunately, in some cases, that's the reason why it almost has to be a coach, because it's just not a conversation that you would have with, you know, like, it's not a conversation that you have with friends. It's not a conversation that you have with a boss. It's not a conversation that you necessarily have, you know, with a mentor that's telling you, you know, things based on their limitations. It's really only a conversation that you would have with a coach. But what I mean by it is that, yeah, literally, like, people that challenge the size of your dreams, you know? And I think that's where... Actually, I mean, the interesting thing about the whole thing and even our relationship is, like, our relationship comes from the coaching that I've received, right? Because there was nothing normal about our first conversations, right? Like, I think I literally came up to you and was like, you're a star. Let me be your coach. It's like, who does that? Like, you know, like,
yeah, I wouldn't say it was that outlandish, but it was like, oh, that's why I was like, okay, I got back to the hotel that night and I'm like, Wes, who is this guy?
Yeah, I'll find out who this guy is and, like, ask other people, because he just came up to me in some, like, crazy way.
Yeah, he's like, honestly, you said what you're doing right now isn't where you should be. And I'm like, dude, I don't like, and I'm a very outgoing, sociable person, but I'm like, dude, like, okay, all right, like, cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, and I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, he's on the murder team and you know what I mean? Like he's had a few beverages. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then the next day it was just like, yeah, dude, like keep going. And I'm like I never forget it. I walked up the stairs and I don't know why I remember stupid things like this, but I walked up the stairs in the bleachers from the track because I had to go up and grab an interview from one of the drivers. And you were standing at the top of the steps and you're like, keep going. Like, keep going. And I'm thinking, is this dude telling me to keep going because I just ran up all these stairs? Or like, well, like, what is he talking about? But, you know, and it's not conventional, but you said it right there, is that these are conversations you don't have with friends. And I don't really think any of my close friends really listen to this. But there's a lot of things that I felt like it's like, man, I want to do this. I want to achieve this. I want to get there. And having someone like, you know, like we've mentioned his name, Wes Buck, he's a great mentor to be there and be like, you know what? He's done things like this. He's obviously made some mistakes, but a lot of good mistakes. I wouldn't call them mistakes, but achievements. So it's always nice to have someone like that. But someone that's, you know, in that position obviously is very busy. So it was nice to have someone that he trusted, that I could trust, and everything worked out. And there's a lot of silly conversations that you and I have about, I'm like, dude, I'm thinking about doing this. And you're like, no. Don't do, like, Sam, stop. Like, and I'm like, dude, this is a great idea. And you're like, no, like, do not do it. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, I mean, and also the, like, typically when we have that conversation, it's because it's too small, right? And so, I mean, just to throw some stuff at stop me if I'm giving too much information, but it's like, typically when we have that conversation, it's like, well, you're on the verge of something really big happening and you decide to go out and like, let me go do this really small thing. And it's like, what, like, you know, like what would have you, what would even, you know? And so like, that becomes the conversation though, right? Of like, look, like, let me just bring this to your attention. Like this big thing was about to happen on the verge of this and you're about to go out and do the small thing. Like, let's like, now that becomes the conversation of like, what actually, like, because it's just normal human self-sabotage stuff that we, you know, we do. It's not necessarily like my opinion, though. It's just that like from the trajectory that we're going, like one of these things just doesn't look like the other, you know, like not my opinion or like, you know, business consulting or anything like that. It's just a simple fact of like something here doesn't look like the other. Like I need to show this person here that something here doesn't look like the other. And let's have a conversation of like, where'd this thing come from?
No, definitely. And even, you know, and even the conversations we've had about like, you're in. And it's like, nah, man, these people don't know who I am. And, you know, like there's no way they know who I am. But then I'm walking through the pits and Steve Torrance sees me and he's like, hey, when am I coming on the show? Like, what's the deal? I've been winning. Like, what's going on? Or, you know, having been able to be invited in with Ron Kepner, he does this wine night thing at the racetrack, and him like, hey, man, what are you doing?
Like, you done put Ron Tobler and Brett Kepner and Ron Caps.
I did, didn't I? Yeah. I did. But, yeah, Tobler, he's like, yeah, man, come on in and, you know, sit here and have wine night with us. And I'm like, I got to get back on the road. And he's like, if I would have known that, you could have just stayed here. And I'm like, what? Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm slamming Sam, this little small guy that lives in North Dakota. But it's cool to see, like, and have that encouragement, someone there that's pushing you behind and continue to motivate you to keep going and achieve your goals. Yeah, is it a little, like I said before, is it a little scary at first? Yeah, because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, there's so much to be worried about, but I think, you know, with you, there's a very open dialect for anyone that's, you know, looking for a coach. I advise it. I mean, I've gone through some mentally challenging times, some physically challenging times, and I don't think just because you go through coaching that it's going to make it 100% better. How, you know, most people may say, well, Sam, you have a motorsports podcast. How does this relate? you're only going to grow, and you've said this in different ways, and I've heard it in different ways. You're only going to grow as far as you can or to your maximum potential within the circle you're in. Another guy has said, if you can jump 36 inches high, but I put a cap on you at 34, you're only going to teach yourself to jump 34 inches. You're never going to jump that extra 2 inches. So, you know, with the idea of coaching and what it means and everything like that, it's helped, one, develop yourself as a person, but your background in motorsports, there's different ways to connect. There's different ideas that people are looking at and that people understand, and ways to talk and express yourself differently. And that's just some of the few things that I've learned, you know, in the short time. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it's been 2 years.
Yeah. Well, and I guess probably to piggyback on something that you said, like, unless you grew up in Brownsburg or Charlotte or Indianapolis, like, if you're the crazy person that loves racing, you're the crazy person that loves racing, right? Like, so, you know, and we talk about it quite a bit too, where it's like, yeah, your home circle is your home circle, but they're sorry. Am I back?
You're back. We lost you there for a second.
What I was gonna say is that your home circle is your home circle, and like, that's what they are. They're your home circle, but you know, they're probably never going to understand the racing stuff that you do. Getting them to understand it, or like fighting for them to understand it, it's a lot of waste of time. Like, if you didn't grow up in Brownsburg or Indianapolis or Charlotte, and you want to be involved in racing, like, it now becomes your job to create your racing family. And, you know, if you're going to be a personality, create your racing tribe and create your, you know, the people who you work with and collaborate with. And that becomes your racing people. And, you know, like here, I try all the time. I'm like, come on, guys, like my group of friends, like, let's go to the racetrack and do that. They don't want to. And it's like, they don't have to. Like, the racetrack is for me to go be with my racing people. And that's what it is. So, a lot of people end up fighting that. And also people who grew up in racing, who are trying to do something outside of the box or trying to innovate in a way that the traditional people don't really want. It's like, well, the traditional people probably aren't going to be your people. Go find the innovative people and go, like, have those guys be your tribe, because you're an innovator.
No, and I mean, it's definitely different. Different, you know, they say different strokes for different folks, but you definitely learn something different. You understand what's going on, what's not right for you. And you start seeing, okay, if I do this, this is what will happen if I approach it in this way. So, I mean, there's a lot of tips and tricks that I think I've picked up over the time, haven't noticed some of them, but I think the biggest thing is knowing when to rest. And I think that's something that we should touch on for a lot of people. I mean, even the racers out there, the people that are just listening to this, is the biggest thing is learning your body, knowing who you are as a person, understanding that. And I think, you know, that was huge for me through all of this, because it was always trying go, 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 and never rest or never know when to take a break. And, you know, people may say, well, Sam, you know, right now people are saying, Sam, you're not taking enough. You're like, you're not doing enough podcasts. We don't see you. And it's like, if I'm going, and I'm at an event here and I'm doing this, I have to take care of resting, or else I'm not going to be able to produce and give you guys what you should be able to see or hear or even want.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think it's triplified and amplified in the racing world, because, I mean, you have a lot of blue-collared folks. There's a lot of blue collar pride. There's a lot of like, I pulled myself up. I did this myself. Like, you know, I created this gadget that did, like me. It's almost like, dang it, what's the Will Ferrell thing where you put the me and the cougar on his car, where it's like me. And, you know, but one of the things that, and literally this happens almost with all of my clients in motorsports, where the culture is to like overwork yourself, because that's what gets you you know, the microphone at the dinner table or whatever, and you talking about how hard you're working, and everyone listens to the hardworking guy, and you know, you have something to relate to everybody with if you're working, you know, yourself to death too. But you know, from a human performance standpoint, like that, it doesn't work. Like that's actually something that we got wrong in the culture. Like, you know, like it may have worked for a generation for a certain amount of time. And then we kept the stories. Like we totally just kept the stories. And it's like, I'm working my hands to the bone, and everyone cheers for it. Where it's like, dude, if you're working your hands to the bone, that's sort of a problem. You know, and especially if you're producing at level 5, you shouldn't be working your hands to the bone or whatever the story is, right? But yeah, that's one of those stories that is general through the whole motorsports industry. Of, I mean, you know, the blue collar worker pride, which is cool and all. There's aspects of it that are great, but one of the things that I think we took is the work yourself to the grave type mentality that we like have created this pride around. But then it ends up killing off some of our best people, and you know, and people just being not able to perform at their best because they're exhausted. And I mean, shoot, continue to see some of that stuff at the racetrack now of you know, all the different stresses that people are going through, and you know, people just really actually needing to take time off or a round off or whatever it is.
ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota. Again, that is ALS Teca for all your dine-in and dine-out needs. Man, I can tell you right now, Jason, I went up to LS Teca today and had a burrito. Man, was it's always good. I don't know. I talk to everyone about this towards the end of the show is, you know, there's a thing that I'm doing. Slam and Sam is going to come out with it soon. Is I like to eat. Believe it or not, I'm a slimmer guy, but I do like to eat. And, you know, I know in Florida, there's been a couple of times where I'm like, Jason, I need to eat. Or you're like, Sam, you're getting hangry. What do you want? And I'm like, go get me some lemon pepper wings from Wingstop. Like, you know, but yeah. That's definitely one thing. Like, I'm working on a little series video of where is Slam and Sam and where is he eating next. I haven't even told you about that. So don't know if that's a good idea or not. But, you know, it's something fun. So we've talked about the importance of life coaching. We've talked about the ideas of it. We've talked about the experiences that I've had, that you've had in life. We've talked about the diversity of people that you worked with, and you know, you equate it to the reason why you are bald. But then exploring the opportunity.
Well, the racing part of it, not the coaching part of it. The coaching part of it actually is regrowing the hair a little bit.
Yeah. So now I kind of just want to dive into the exploring the opportunities. You know, the opportunities, obviously we've kind of talked about it with me, the opportunities I've had with meeting, you know, John Force, Ron Capps, Ron Tobler, you know, Don Perdome, Don the Snake Perdome, I should actually say. I've been on the phone with Pat Musi, Larry Dixon, John Force, obviously, as we had a show with him last night. I've been on the show with the president of NHRA, you know. So there's a lot of experiences that are to be had, but those all come with, you know, understanding the territory, understanding the time, you know, that it's taken to do that, and the opportunity that I've been given. So I would just say, you know, give these last few minutes here to tell anyone where they can find you, Captain's Chair Coaching, and what they should be looking for, signs that is kind of basically telling them that it's time for them to stop thinking where they're thinking and stop being held in that box and explore something new.
Yeah, well, so I'm 42, so you can find me on all the major social medias of a 42-year-old. So I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn. I have a Twitter account, but it's not very active. And I just started Instagram because I'm 42. So, like, that's a big thing. On Facebook and LinkedIN, it's at Be Your Captain. The company's called Captain's Chair Coaching. The tag is at Be Your Captain. On Instagram, I got to the party late, so it's at Captain's Chair Coaching. In all cases, you can go to any of those social media platforms and find pretty inspirational quotes. I post a lot about, you know, some of the things happening in the world. I work with people in a lot of different industries. So I post about those different industries, but specifically in racing, just some of the things that people come up with, like some of the problems and some of the solutions that either, you know, my clients have worked through or whatever. As far as, you know, reaching out to me, reach out to me if you want to do if you're interested, like, you know, just either give me a call, email, or send me a message and we can do a complimentary sample session, or just go ahead and create a program for you, which are, they're all bespoke programs. Like I said, with all my clients, I create, we end up creating a language and projects and what we're working on. But as for who should reach out to me, and is now the time, I think, like everything really that's happened in the past 2 years, shouts yes that it's the time. Like all the different changes that's going on in the world, all the different changes that are going on in motorsports, whether we like them or not, it's time. Like if you were like Wes and, you know, had a whole bunch of notebooks with ideas, or, you know, even if you're like East Lam and Sam, where it's like, man, you know, everyone's telling you that, like, you're it, you're the next one, but, like, you know, either can't hear it or don't necessarily know what to do with that information or what next. You know, or if you just have a burning desire of what you want your life, your business, or this industry to be, then we should certainly have a conversation, because, I mean, the people that I work with, like, I help them make that become a reality.
No, and that's definitely it, is, you know, making those connections, making those things come true, and just talking to people about it. And I think, like you said, that's been the biggest thing for me in the last 2 years, is seeing it, understanding, and realizing when, why, how, and how to keep going. So, no, I mean, if anyone's got any questions about it, I guess you can call me or ask me. You guys know, obviously, how to get a hold of me if you're listening to this. But, no, it's definitely been an honor and a pleasure to have you on, especially after we did have a session kind of recapping the last 2 years. That doesn't really seem like 2 years. But, you know, I can honestly say there's a lot that I've learned about myself, about who I am, where I've come from, and my story that still I would say a lot of people, you know, don't know, but I'm a little bit more open about it. It's not all about, you know, trying to peel back that onion, as I used to call it when we first started, you know. It's more a little bit be open about who you are, what you come from, what you've done, and, you know, just tell people, you know, why you're here and what you want to do. So, Jason, I appreciate you coming on and giving us some of your time, especially, you know, you're an hour ahead of us there in Florida. So it's always been an honor and a pleasure to, you know, definitely have you on. And I know I'll see you at a racetrack here very soon, and we will talk about whatever else life throws our way.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, dude, you're providing a huge service to the industry and to me. Like, I think it, you know, like a year ago, you were like, oh, can I be on the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, sure, next week. And then, you know, like, it got switched where I'm like, Sam, when am I going to be on your podcast, bro? Like, you know, and you're like, yeah, next week. So, you know, I mean, dude, but you know, the table's turning, and you're providing great value. And, you know, the best part about it is you're providing great value authentically, but literally the way that you said you wanted to 2 years ago and just didn't know how to. So, I'm honored that I get to work with you.
No, it's been a ride, and I know it's not over yet. We've still got some unfinished business here, but like I said, I mean, we'll continue to grind, fight, repeat, and get there in due time, and then we'll all be able to look back and say, you know what, this is why we went through all of this. So again, Jason, Captain Scare Coaching, you guys look him up, ask me any questions, but thank you for coming on to In the Groove podcast and just dropping a little knowledge for everyone that's out there.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yep. So we will see you soon. Again, everybody, that was Jason from Captain's Chair Coaching. It, like I said, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have him on. As we always do when we're wrapping up, like I said, everybody, if you have not done already, you need to get over to YouTube. You need to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and that is Outlaw Performance ENT. Obviously, you should know that, but yes, Outlaw Performance ENT there at the bottom. We went to the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals. We dropped a photo album on Facebook, so you can go there and look at all that. Flying Ryan Ayler is our newest video, Who Keeps Turning the Heat Up? That's right, if you have not checked that out already, obviously someone kept pressing the up button on the heat control, and man, was it hot out there. We'll be dropping some more videos, some more information from that race here very soon. Next show, we will try and bring you guys one very, very soon, but you guys know what to do. Like always, again, I am your man, Slammin' Sam with the plan. Till next time, y'all, have fun and God bless. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Powerbit Tools, LS Teca Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on, and you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.